would you stand and worship with us? Come all you weary.
Thankful for that love, like we sing about in the first song, a love so great that God would send his only son to live a perfect life for you and for me, to die on the cross for our sins, to conquer death, rise again 3 days later, ascend to the right hand of his Father, just so we can spend eternity with him. I'm thankful for that love, aren't you? That's why we gather together in this place. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. Why don't you find someone before we do anything else? Find someone around you have not said good morning to yet and say hello to them. All right, you can go ahead and find your seat as we continue to worship together this morning in Believer's Baptism.
Well, good morning, church. This is Juliana Arise, and her son and Rafa are coming for baptism today. I had the privilege a couple weeks ago to talk to Rafa about his decision to follow Christ, and he just wasn't quite ready at that point. But towards the end of that, he prayed and had never prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be his personal Lord and Savior, and he got to do that day. And right after that, his mom looked over, and I began to talk to her, and she had never made that decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And she prayed right after him and gave her life to Christ. I'm so proud of the decision you made. I've got a question for you, Juliana. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Well, based on that profession of faith in him as your Savior and Lord, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. And this is her son, Rafa, who made that decision. Rafa, I'm so proud of the decision that you made to become a follower of Jesus. I've got one question for you. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, based on that profession of faith in him as your personal Lord and Savior, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen. That never gets old, right? Never gets old celebrating people who have given their life to Christ and are so proud that they want to come and tell you about it. Welcome to Prestonwood again. We are so glad that you're here. Thank you so much for carving out time to be here. This is so important, the fellowship of the believers and the community of church. Thank you for making this a priority. And we know that there are so many of you who are joining us online this morning. Welcome. You are a part of our family. We're so glad that you're joining us this morning as well. We know there's a lot of people online. And in this room, maybe this is your very first time to be with us here at Prestonwood today. Maybe you've been coming the last few weeks and you're kind of trying to figure out where you fit in this church. We'd love to answer any questions that you may have about Prestonwood. The easiest way to do that is to take your phone out and text the word CONNECT to 55125. Someone will hit you back. And once again, any questions you have, we want to make sure those get answered. Also, if you're in the room and this is your first Sunday with us, we have a gift for you right after the service. You can head out these doors and find the table with a banner that says Guest Central and just tell someone who's standing there, hey, this is my first Sunday here, and we will get you taken care of. This coming weekend is Freedom Weekend. It's a big weekend for our students. I know there are probably many of you in this room who are involved as well. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe your students are involved in it. We can all be involved by praying for our students. Every single year, there are students who give their life to Christ. Their lives are changed. Through this specific weekend, there are students who are registered for Freedom right now who don't know Jesus. And they're just coming to hang out with their friends and hear good music and eat good food and whatever they need to do. But they're going to make decisions this weekend that are going to affect their eternity. So let's make sure we continue to pray for them. And then parents, please come back next week as our life groups are going to focus on parenting. Come on back and support our students. This weekend, we are focusing on honoring sanctity of life and specifically recognizing our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that is outspoken on issues of pro-life. So grateful, and grateful for the leadership of Pastor Connor in this, grateful for the leadership of Pastor Graham in this. And it's not just issues of pro-life, it's everything after. It's abortion care, it's foster care and adoption, all of those ministries. But it all starts at our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, where some of our folks there are having conversations with these young women who are making decisions that will affect their lives forever. Check this out.
In the past 12 months, over 30,000 women have walked through our doors, burdened, alone, uncertain, afraid. Many with their minds made up for an abortion. But inside these doors, something extraordinary happens. These women encounter the life they carry, seeing the sonogram and hearing the heartbeat.
I heard about Prestonwood when I had my first daughter. I was looking for, you know, a lot of options. So I went and I fell in love with it immediately. The women were so nice, you know, they so quick to pray over us and ask me how I'm doing.
I was looking
for something close by. I was just getting a divorce, so I wanted somewhere that I could come to and feel safe because I was considering abortion. They made me feel like I was at home.
I had doubts whether or not if I was pregnant. On the phone with my best friend, and she decided that I go to Walmart and get a 88 cents pregnancy test. It was the longest ride, the longest drive home. I didn't think I was gonna keep her. I didn't want her. And as time went on and the classes that I took here, I kept coming back for more.
It's important for me personally that they care because I don't have that. It's good to have somebody who cares.
Every single one of you at Prestonwood told me, you have options, but we're here for you. We love you, and we're gonna support you every single step of the way.
I have my baby now, and have gone through a lot during delivery helped me get closer to God. I wanna thank the donors because my family was not a part of the process of me having this baby out of wedlock, and so I wanna thank the donors for giving me the baby shower that I didn't get to have at all with my family.
To have other people come behind you and speak exactly what you're feeling, what you're thinking, amazing. You don't even have to say, you could just feel it.
I got closer to God and to my faith, and I was able to realize that because of you guys.
No, I'm trying not to tear up. I'm trying not to cry. I knew this was gonna happen. This is the best thing that I could have ever done.
The need and the work continue. The need is real, and the need is now. Look into your own heart and give in abundance so that this amazing ministry can continue to reach the lives of women, their families, and their unborn babies.
I would definitely like to give a big thanks to the pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Graham. Thank you, Prestonwood Baptist Church, from the bottom of my heart.
Prestonwood was with me through everything. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Would you help me celebrate what God is doing through the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center? My name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor here at the North Campus of our church, and I am so pleased to be joined this morning by the executive director of our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, Leanne Jameson. Leanne and her husband, Rob, are a vital part of the ministry of our church, and Leanne is here today with a number of her staff and volunteer team just for us to be able to highlight the incredible work God is doing. So, Leanne, let me just begin by saying thank you. Thank you for your leadership, for your vision, for your willingness to step in to this much-needed ministry space. And I know God continues to do great things, and 2023 was another great year. And we have some data that I know you'd want to share and just some highlights from the last year so our church can see what God has been doing through your work.
Well, you just saw in the video that we've had actually over 31,000 client visits we ended the year with. And those stories, they're the reason that we get to do what we do. But if you look up there, there's two numbers I want to highlight. The almost 6,000 women that chose life for their babies. Those are women, we have about an 86% of our women choose life, but those women in particular either had abortion appointments or were so strongly abortion determined and came to us and chose life. That's amazing. And the other number is 193 salvations. I just want you to know that this is a Jesus ministry, yeah. And we are making a difference from not just an earthly difference, but also an eternal one as well.
Amen. We're so grateful for that and grateful for the privilege to be able to step into this space. And you know, last year, many of you know that we celebrated, by God's grace, the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But we also know that what that did was not eradicate the fight for life, but rather it shifted the fight for life. And there's still so much work to be done. And so, Leanne, what are some of the challenges that you guys are facing now that the battle has changed?
Well, I absolutely do celebrate the overturning of Roe v. Wade. That was a huge win for our nation. But that just made abortion illegal in the state of Texas. It is still not unthinkable and is certainly not unattainable.
Yeah.
We know that right now there is over 50% of abortions are now chemical abortions utilizing the abortion pill. But we believe, especially at our center, that that number is much, much higher. We see women coming into our center for the abortion pill reversal. That is something we do at our center. And when they do, they often are coming to us with medication that has come from outside the country. Most of the time, they don't even know what they have taken. So this very much still is a battle that is ahead for us. And that's why, church family, we must press forward. We won a battle, but we are still in a war. And only by showing those clients that you saw on that screen the love and compassion, having them feel seen for the very first time, that is how we're going to end abortion in Texas.
Amen. Well, I know that the work that you do and the way in which our church and all of us want to continue to partner with you in that work, there's just a number of ways in which we can get involved. There are some of you who are here this morning, and for the very first time, you're getting to hear about this incredible ministry work, and maybe God is stirring something in your heart where you would decide, hey, how can I get involved? And so, Leanne, how would you tell us, just as a family of faith, the best way for us to be involved, to partner with you and the work of the Pregnancy Center?
Well, we continue to expand. Many of you heard that we're opening up in Fort Worth. We're helping open up a center in Puerto Rico, and we have centers coming from all over the nation to have us help train them. So I've got a few things I want you to do today. First, as you're leaving today, we have these pins. They are little feet. They are the size of a 10-week baby in the womb. And I want you to put those on your lapel or your sweater. And when people ask you about them, it will start a conversation. But it also will remind you to pray for us, which is the second thing you can do. You can pray. We know that prayer is essential and foundational to everything that we do at the center, and prayer works. In fact, we have a prayer app that you can download. We have information at our booth that you can download, and when a woman who is abortion determined comes on site, you can pray. And lastly, you can give. We are wholly supported by individual donors like yourselves. We have a lot of work ahead of us. There is a lot of possibility, and God is presenting us opportunities that we couldn't even have fathomed in the past, but that's going to require those of you that are feeling the Holy Spirit quicken your heart to be obedient and wear the pin, pray, and give, and also serve.
Yeah.
Lastly, I would say, if you're sitting here and wondering, what can I do to make a difference, you can serve with us.
Men and women.
Men, yes. I've been on this sort of spiel lately of saying, men, if we truly want abortion to end in our nation, it's going to require you sitting with a young father of a baby and telling him what it looks to be like to be a godly man and a godly father. In our world, sadly, in our nation, very few men have had that influence, and they're desperate for it.
Yeah. So listen, this is such a vital part of the heartbeat of our church. This has been ingrained in the ministry of Prestonwood for a very, very long time. And one of the things that's kind of unique to our family of faith is often we want to take time out together to pray with and for one another. And so I'm going to ask you in just a moment, our ushers are going to come. We're going to receive this morning's offering. Caleb has planned a very special song for Sanctity of Life Sunday that he's going to sing over us as our offering is received. But I want us to just end our time praying over Leanne. So would you just, where you are in your seat, would you just extend your hand toward her? Because we want to continue to beg God for blessing and provision for the work of the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. And let's pray for God to continue to use Leanne and her team in supernatural ways. Our ushers are going to come. When I say amen, the offering will be passed. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the privilege that it is to gather together today and to be able to lift up our voices in song and to open your word and read and discover truth. God, thank you for the work and the ministry of your church, and most significantly this morning, for the work of the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center under the leadership of Leanne Jamison. God, I pray for Leanne to continue to feel your strength and your power that comes by your Spirit. I pray for her staff and all of those who volunteer and serve. God, I pray that you would open our hearts toward generosity to be able to give and continue to advance the good work that is being done. God, I pray for every a mother who is going to walk through those doors, maybe being abortion-minded or abortion-determined, God, I pray that you would change her heart. I pray for the father of that unborn child, God. I pray that you would change his heart. And I pray that you would draw them to a right relationship with you. And so, God, thank you for the work that you have done. And we believe you now for the work you are going yet to do. We ask this in faith from you and pray to you in Jesus' good name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Staring at a work of art, listening to a symphony in every beat of your tiny heart. It used to be a choice to make, but now I think you've chosen me. 'Cause I see 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, and I know this is meant to be. Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.
Good morning. Not terrible. Not great, but not terrible. Grab your Bibles and go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, as you're making your way there. Just a reminder, Caleb mentioned this a moment ago, but Freedom Weekend is such a significant thing in the life and ministry of our church. And so I'm going to ask you 3 things. One, make sure you get your students registered. When we're dismissed, right out in the middle of the atrium is a registration table. Parents, grandparents, please, please, please don't let your students miss this opportunity to be blessed next weekend as a part of Freedom. Also, Next weekend will be a weekend for you to connect in life group. And many of you are unconnected into life group. And we want to invite you specifically for next weekend because we are teaching a parenting and grandparenting curriculum in all of our adult life groups. And so you're thinking, well, how do I get connected in a group if I've been disconnected for a while or never connected before? Well, when we're dismissed right out in the middle of the atrium at Guest Central, we'll have staff and volunteers that would love to connect with you and help you find a good group where you can go next Sunday and be a part of that parenting and grandparenting curriculum that is in partnership with our Freedom Weekend. And so don't miss out on that opportunity. And then lastly, I'm going to ask our entire church family to pray. Just pray in anticipation of the weekend. Pray for the students that are registered. Pray for our student ministry staff, for Lance Millsaps and his team, Jason Mick and the team in Plano. And just ask for God to move in a supernatural way among our students because it's so significant in the life and in the ministry of our church. Now, you just saw from that sermon bumper, we started a few weeks ago this new series entitled Forward, Walking Together, Learning Biblical Lessons of Leadership through the Book of Joshua. And Joshua was God's man raised up for God's time to lead God's people into the land that God had promised to them. And if you missed any single Sunday in this series thus far, go back online and get caught up because I think some of the history and the context and in particular some of the timeline are going to be helpful for you in understanding what is going to be this epic march into the land of Canaan. And really, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that God's conversation now in Joshua chapter 1 is significant because God talks to Joshua and gives him some specific instruction on strength and courage. And we've borrowed that often in coffee mugs and on paintings and the idea of being strong and courageous, this conversation God has with Joshua. And we know that too is ours in Christ Jesus, but the question is how. And so a couple of weeks ago we said, well, here's the source of strength and courage. It's found first in God's promise, because if you know that when God was conversing with Joshua, he said, I'm going to give you the land and I promised to you, your forefathers a long, long time ago. In other words, God said, I swore I'm going to do this work, Joshua, and I am a God who keeps his word. And so because I have promised it, I will fulfill it. So we can stand confident, strength and courage. Why? Because it's rooted in God's promise. Then God said, I have a plan. Every place you put your foot, I'm going to give that place to you. I have a plan of where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. I've proven that in that there's a fire a cloud at nighttime and a dark cloud during the day. And that's how I'm going to guide you into this season as you head from where you were to where you are going to be. And then lastly, we said, but it's ultimately rooted in God's person, because it's God who says in verses 6 and again in verse 9 that I'm not leaving. Like Joshua, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. So if that's the sourcing for God's people, you and me, that's the sourcing for strength and courage, right? We want to be strong and courageous. But then how do we pursue that? What does it look like for us to be a people who continually knowing the source of strength and courage is God's promise, plan, and person? How do we pursue that strength and courage in whatever adventure God has called to you and me? What is it that he has entrusted to us, and how can we pursue that idea of biblical strength and courage as we head forward into what God has for us? And so that's where we're going to be today in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to concentrate on verses 7 and 8. But I think for the purposes of just giving ourselves a recap, I'm going to read all 9 verses at first, and then we'll slow down and talk specifically about verses 7 and 8. So Joshua chapter 1, start with me in verse number 1. And if you're there, say, I got it. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given it to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hopefully, by now, you have marked by highlighting or underlining or circling that phrase that's found three times in four verses, 6, 7, and 9, of be strong and courageous. And the reason I would encourage you to do that is because it is significant, this imperative command that God gives to Joshua before he moves into this epic adventure God has reserved for his people. And we know that the idea, again, of sourcing biblical strength and courage is found in God's promise, his plan, and his person. But it's this idea of pursuing, this idea of desiring and continue to finding ourselves with biblical strength and courage that I think is important, because it's not hidden from us how we might pursue biblical strength and courage. God makes it abundantly clear in verses 7 and 8, and here's the hint. It's by meeting with God in his word. So the idea of what does it mean to pursue biblical strength and courage, if you and I want to be a people today that are founded upon biblical strength and courage, then we too must see the value in God's word. I'll show it to you again. Look with me at verses 7 and 8. Because God speaks and Joshua listens and he says, only be strong and very courageous. Now watch. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So I believe God gives Joshua some specific ways by which he can pursue biblical strength and courage by valuing the word of God. If you're a note taker, write this down. Biblical strength and courage is pursued by obeying all of God's word. By obeying all of God's word. This is obvious when you read verse 7, because he says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful, now watch, to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. When he says that phrase, to do, it brings the idea of obedience into clear view. Now, admittedly, the idea of being obedient to God's word is difficult for us to do, hence the reason that Jesus came. I had a conversation with someone just this week, and I was like, bro, that runs in contradiction to God's word. That's not what God would want. He's like, man, I get it, but it's hard, Pastor. And I was like, well, if it's easy, Jesus wouldn't come. So of course it's hard, but it's necessary. Now, why is it necessary to be obedient to God's word? Well, because God always knows best. God always knows best. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows best. God knows best. He always knows best. So it's not easy to be obedient to his word, but it's necessary to be obedient to his word. Why? Because God knows what's best. And so the idea here of us being obedient to God's word, it's not foreign to the scriptures. In fact, the very half-brother of Jesus himself, the New Testament pastor James, gives us New Testament wisdom literature. And in James chapter 1, you can go read this later. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, James says, but be not a mere hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. It's action-oriented. It means that there should be this compulsion toward obedience, not just reception, not just something that we're taking in, but something that's transforming us, and it's evidencing itself in its going out. You with me? James says, don't just listen to it, but rather practice what it is that it says. And here's what I think is fascinating. I think that it is fascinating that of all the things God could have talked to Joshua about, this commander of the Lord's army, this man that God had set aside and reserved, not Moses for this great endeavor, but Joshua. This is God's man to lead God's people into this campaign, into the land of promise. And of all the things he could have given instruction for Joshua to do, I think it is fascinating that he determined, I'm going to encourage you to be obedient to my word. Like I would have thought maybe he would have given him some military expertise, because Joshua would need it. Israel is about to embark on what is ultimately going to be the bloodiest campaign in the entire history of their nation, even up until now. They're going to go into battle after battle after battle after battle. And you would think, well, Joshua could use some military expertise. I bet God's going to talk to him about that. Well, that's not what he does. Well, you might think, well, I bet he's going to give some organizational skills. Because as they move into this new land and as they occupy this new territory, they're going to need to figure out how they're going to organize themselves and how they're going to govern themselves and the way in which they should be led. But that's not what God chooses to say. God's instruction, what he finds most significant to impart as his wisdom to Joshua, his man, to lead his people into this land of promise is, hey, just obey my word. Just do all that my word commands for you to do. I think this is a key leadership principle for every Christ follower as well. Because don't you think at times we can get bogged down thinking, I wish God would tell me exactly how he wants me to build this out. I think we can get bogged down with the idea, I wish God would give me the specifics on how to dot these I's and cross these T's. But what if God wants to give to you, hey, obey my word. Obey my word, and then we'll figure out together how you're supposed to dot the I's, cross the T's, and build this out, right? I read one scholar this week who said this. I thought it was significant. He said, the higher any man is raised in office, the more need he has of an acquaintance with the sacred oracles, and the better he will be qualified by the study of them for the discharge of his arduous duties. Two things I think that I'll just remind you of. First is God's instruction to Joshua is to obey all the law. He said twice, both in verse 7 and again in verse 8, he says to do all that it says. Now, why is it important for us to remind ourselves of that? Because we have an inclination in our sinful nature to want to pick and choose the best parts that are easiest for us to follow. But when it comes to the whole counsel of God's word, that's what we are to submit ourselves to, what we are to be obedient to, not pick and choose which parts we happen to like. And the other thing is, it's important that we recognize, yes, this is difficult. It's difficult to be obedient to God's law because that requires a submission of self and an elevation of God. It requires the recognition that God might have a plan that is better than what you and I could devise on our own. It's difficult, but it's necessary because God always knows what's best. Here's the second thing I'll point out to you. Biblical strength and courage is pursued by trusting all of God's word. By trusting. Look again at verse 7. In the second half, first it begins, he says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law my servant, Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Now, when God says don't turn to the right hand or to the left, what he's saying in biblical language is don't deviate from my word. What he's saying is pursuing biblical strength and courage comes from trusting God's word. And so family, listen, you can't say, well, I trust God, but I don't trust his word. Like those things are incongruent. You recognize that, right? Now, we would never say it that plainly, okay? We would never say so plainly, well, I trust God, but I don't trust God's word. But when we don't obey it, when we choose to ignore it, or if we try and misinterpret it, what we are revealing is that we don't trust God who gave it. You with me? And so we can't say, well, I trust God, but I don't trust his word, because those things are incompatible one with another. I had a conversation just this week with a guy who is navigating a very difficult medical diagnosis, and he's wrestling with what treatment options to pursue and the ethical even dilemmas that are surrounding some of that. And so I just was trying to encourage him, and I just said, what I can tell you is that all scripture is breathed out by God. So all of God's word comes from God, and all of it is profitable. All of it has purpose. And one of the scriptures in Romans chapter 8 says God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I don't know how he's going to make this diagnosis, which is bad, good, but I know because God is good and his entire word is true that he's going to work it for good because you belong to him. I don't know how, but I know he will never waste your pain and your difficulty and your suffering. And we have to choose to trust God's word when we don't understand exactly how things are going in the here and right now. I love the way the psalmist writes about God's word. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11, it speaks as to why we can trust the word of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Now, you ever have one of those days when you're just not feeling well? Like, I don't know if it's emotionally or physically or even spiritually. It's just one of those difficult days. And all of a sudden, you meet with God in His Word, and it changes the trajectory of that. You ever had one of those? That's the evidence. That's the byproduct of trusting God's Word. Because even when you don't feel like it's good, if God's Word says you are good, right, then you trusted it, and it'll change the trajectory of things. Here's the third way in which we pursue biblical strength and courage: by speaking all of God's Word. We pursue biblical strength and courage by speaking all of God's Word. I'll show this to you in verse 8. It says this: the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In the Hebrew language, the phrasing there is interesting for not departing from your mouth. It basically means a mumbling or murmuring. It's the idea of you're just kind of a murmuring God's Word. Well, here's what I think God is communicating there. Not that we would be a people who just walk around mumbling, but rather that because God's Word is so valued, our desire to pursue a biblical strength and courage is so rooted in the value of God's Word that it's hidden deep within our heart, and therefore it's kind of what naturally spills out. You with me? Because God's Word is so deep within us that when life shows up and when circumstances are around us, God's Word is kind of what spills out naturally as in response to that. This is what Jesus means when He says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we would be a people who recognize that God's Word is so significant, and we want to pursue biblical strength and courage so greatly by valuing it that we're willing to speak about all of it. This is how and why you and I answer questions and we share convictions, not based on what we think, but what God's Word says. Right? Isn't that why we talk often about the danger when you're trying to share your conviction by saying, well, I just think that. That's dangerous. The easier answer is to say, well, God's Word says that. And so we answer questions and we share convictions by speaking God's Word. I would also say this is the reason and significance for us teaching God's Word to other people. So parents and grandparents, we've been talking about students all morning long. You are the primary discipler in your home. And of all the things you could teach and impart to your children and your grandchildren, nothing could be more significant than the teaching that comes from God's Word. So when your kids say, Mom and Dad, why do we have to go to church? And they're going to. And when they say, why do you give to the church? We could go on vacation if you didn't do that. When they say, you know, why can't I spend the night at that friend's house? Or why can't I have that app on my phone? Or how come I can't have a phone just yet? Or how come I can't hang out and pass this time or that time? Or, you know, when they're asking these questions and you're answering these questions, sometimes you're going to be tempted in your frustration to say, because I told you so. I get that. But we should always try to draw them back to, because here's what God's Word says, and in light of that, here's the decisions that we're trying to make. Does that make sense? And so this is the way in which we speak all of God's Word. Went to dinner last week. Mary and I did with some friends. Went and had really good Tex-Mex in downtown Salina, and because we love God. And can I get a witness? Amen. And so we went, and we had a great conversation with a young waitress that night, and she was sharing about some anxiety. So, you know, that's kind of my deal. Like at dinner, we'll pray for a meal, and if there's a waiter or waitress, I'll just say, hey, I don't know if you're a spiritual person, but this is my wife, Mary, and my name's Connor, and we always pray before we eat, and so is there anything we could pray for you about? And so she said, well, I'm a believer. And she said, but yeah, you could pray because I'm battling anxiety. And so she was just very honest, very vulnerable, and shared for a few minutes with us. And so had a moment then where I could just remind her of what Philippians 4 says, that we need not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, we can make our requests known to God. And so we don't have to be anxious because we can actually pray to God. And the Bible uses this great big word called supplication. It just means letting God know what you need. And so we can just make supplication to God. And then verse 7 tells us there's a promise associated with that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard hearts and minds in the name of Christ Jesus. So there's a promise that God gives us transcendent peace, even though anxiety would run in contradiction to that. And so just reminded her of that over that conversation that night at dinner. This is the idea of God's word being so in us that it's naturally what spills out of us, because we trust it. You with me? And so we want to be a people who pursue biblical strength and courage, and we do so by speaking all of God's word. Number 4 is this. Biblical strength and courage is pursued by thinking all of God's word. I'm going to show it to you again. Look with me in verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's speaking. But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. The instruction God gives here for the pursuit of biblical strength and courage is to think about, or the language of the Bible is to meditate on God's law, on God's word. And I'll just say the idea of Christian meditation is different than the culture or secular meditation would lead you to believe. And again, I'm not going to cast stones at other types of meditation if that's something someone practices. But what I'll tell you is Christian meditation is altogether different from that. In fact, if you were watching any of the national championship football game this year, the University of Michigan won the championship, and their quarterback got a lot of press because of a pregame ritual that he has, or a routine that he sits in the end zone prior to every game, and he puts on some type of music or something he listens to, and then he meditates. So he's clearing his mind. Now, again, I'm not throwing any shade at that guy and what his pregame routine happens to be, but what I am wanting the church to know is Christian meditation is altogether different from that. Because Christian meditation, look up here at me, that's not emptying ourselves, that's filling ourselves with the things of God. And in the New Testament, Paul says we actually have the mind of Christ. So we need not empty ourselves, but rather fill ourselves with the word of God. This is what it means for us to practice meditation. Again, remember I told you that we had that conversation with that waitress just this week. Well, what I didn't tell her that night was that the very next verse, Philippians 4:8, tells us why it matters so much for us to value God's word enough to think about it. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, now watch, think about these things. Think about them. Meditate on them. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is in Psalm chapter 1. And in Psalm chapter 1, the psalmist writes and talks about a person who is blessed or has experienced blessing. And one of the things that it does there is it explains the evidence of their blessing. And so he says specifically, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And upon that law, what does he do? He meditates day and night. And then it speaks to the byproduct of that idea of filling our mind with the word of God, the idea of meditating. In verse 3, it goes on and it says, he is like a tree that's planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now here's what's interesting. In Joshua 1:8 and in Psalm 1:2, in both instances, the idea of meditation or thinking about God's word is referenced both day and night. Both day and night. Here's what I think is communicated there. It's the idea of thinking about consistently God's word, not thinking about circumstantially God's word. Day and night is the idea that when things are good, we think about God's word. And when things are bad, we think about God's word. When things are happy, we meditate on God's word. And when things are sad, we meditate on God's word. It's the idea of there's consistency in our understanding of the value of God's word, so much so that we would want to think about it. Now, How do we develop this? Well, I'll give you two quick examples on ways in which you can develop the idea, the practice, if you will, of meditation. One is if you'll practice personal evangelism. If you'll practice personal evangelism, because when you evangelize, when you share your faith, then you get to use the scriptures. This is the idea you'll be drawing upon Romans 3:23, which says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is, according to Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if all have sinned, then everyone who calls on Jesus gets saved. And all that happens by thinking about, meditating, and drawing upon God's word. Through personal evangelism, this practice is developed. And here's what I would say in addition to that. You ready? Pursuing Christian friendships. Pursuing Christian friendships. Because when we have people that we invite to speak into our life, and we think about the counsel that they give, if they do not have a relationship with God, then the question is, how great can that counsel be trusted? But when we pursue Christian relationships, then we draw upon the counsel of people who love God and love us and speak his truth accordingly, and therefore we can think about, we can meditate on the word in which they have shared with us. So I would just encourage you, ask yourself, who speaks truth into me? Who have I invited to speak truth into me? And that leads me to the last, number five. Biblical strength and courage is pursued by believing all of God's word for all of our good. Biblical strength and courage is pursued by believing all of God's word for all of our good. Verses 7 and 8, I want to read them together because I believe there is a promise that is associated with the idea of pursuing here in both verses. In verse 7, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left." Now watch. Here's the promise. "That you may have good success wherever you go." Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Now watch. Here's the promise. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." When we choose to obey and to trust and to speak and to think God's word, then we are evidencing a belief in the promise that he has tied to that. I'll say that again. When we obey and trust and speak and think about God's word, then we are evidencing a belief in the promise found here in verses 7 and 8 that is associated with that. Because God says, if you'll value my word enough to obey it, enough to trust it, enough to speak it, enough to think about it, then I will prosper you. You will have success. Now, it's important that we understand words matter. And the word here for prosper or success that's found in Joshua 1, 7 and 8, it's found about 60 other places in the Old Testament. And with the exception of one, it is never associated with financial gain. Meaning that the promise of prospering is spiritual. When we stay close to God in his word, when we value God's word enough because we are pursuing biblical strength and courage, so therefore we're obeying and trusting and speaking and thinking about God's word, there is a promise of prospering, but it is spiritual in nature. Meaning God is going to provide us spiritual blessings, might not be financial. He's going to provide us spiritual significance. It might not be emotional. Spiritual prosperity. It might not be physical. But it's a spiritual blessing that God gives, which makes sense because what has Joshua been entrusted with? A spiritual task. He has been entrusted with the ministry of leading God's people into the land of God's promise. It's a spiritual endeavor. And if you are in Christ Jesus, then you have been given a spiritual endeavor as well. It's your marriages. It's our parenting. It's our teaching. It's our coaching. It's our investing. It's our serving. It's our volunteering. All of the, if you are in Christ Jesus, every single one of those things is a spiritual endeavor that God has entrusted to you. And when you value His word enough to obey it and trust it and to speak it and think about it, then He promises in that endeavor, you'll find prosperity. You'll find success. Mary was telling me just this week about something they practice in kindergarten called directed drawing. It's basically a way you do art, but it's also a learning practice as well. So you have to obey the teacher's instructions. So the teacher might say, draw a circle in the middle of the page and draw a square in the bottom right corner of your page. And so if you draw the square in the middle and the circle in the bottom right, then what it is you're supposed to be drawing is not going to turn out correct. I can remember so many times going to my kids' school for like a curriculum night or a meet the teacher night or something like that, and they've done one of those crafts. Y'all know the Thanksgiving crafts where they trace their hand and they color all their fingers a different color, and then they get a white paper plate and glue it to the bottom, and then they draw, and that's the turkey, right? And so I remember several times going to my kid's school, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks so good. What is that? And my kids are like, that's a turkey. I'm like, well, I think it wanted to be. It definitely wanted to be. Good job. I'm so proud of you. You know what I mean? But listen, if you don't follow the instruction exactly as the teacher gives, it's not going to turn out the way it's supposed to. Well, fam, I think what God is saying is if you'll trust me enough to follow the instruction that I've given you in my word, and you're going to have to obey me and trust me and speak about it and think about it, then I promise you there's prosperity and success that is coming for you. Spiritual blessing is what awaits. And so I know we want to be a people who pursue strength and courage. And I'm going to give you a very practical way in which you can do that, because I never want you to leave here asking the question, okay, so what's next? So three things. If you want to pursue biblical strength and courage by valuing God's word, here's the first thing I'll tell you to do. Start reading and studying God's word somewhere. The way you can do that is get plugged into life group. Get plugged into life group. Get plugged into a small group community that is going to gather together around the teaching and discussion of God's word. This is not something I say. It is something Mary and I do. We have life group. We're in life group. We study the Bible with God's people, and we do it on a regular basis. This is important to me. So it's not something we say. It's something that we actually believe. We do this. And I want to encourage you. Look, in this room, there are so many of you who are disconnected. Now, you're attending, but you're not enjoying the benefit, the blessing that comes with connecting into small groups. And I want that to change. I want that to change. I want you to find a small group where you can be known and loved, where you can experience genuine community surrounded, anchored and built out around the teaching and truth of God's word. So you say, okay, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, when we're dismissed, you can stop by Guest Central today, and every single Sunday there is volunteers and staff that want to connect with you. They want you to help. They want to help you take the next step and find how to get connected into a group. So please get plugged into life group. Here's the second thing. Take advantage of the men's and women's Bible studies that are offered in this church. I'm so excited. For the very first time since I've been at Prestonwood, our men and women are simultaneously studying the Gospel of Luke together, studying the same content, the same curriculum, men and women together. And so our guys, every Friday morning at 6:30, and our men's discussion groups in Life Group are studying the Gospel of Luke. It's starting right about now, and it's going to be happening for the next several weeks, and it's going to last for the entirety of this year. Our ladies are studying the Gospel of Luke. And here's the big idea. We are hopeful that as women gather together and they study God's word, and as guys gather together and they study God's word, then when they get together, they can have the commonality to share and discuss God's word. That's really the strategy behind that. So I want to encourage you, please, please, please take advantage of that. And then lastly, find a good Bible reading plan. If you believe in the value of God's word, If it was important enough that it's what God instructed Joshua to do, then it ought to be important for you and me as well. Find a good Bible reading plan. I'll give you two easy options. The first one is Our pastor, Dr. Graham, has partnered with Pray.com and has an easy downloadable app called The Bible in a Year. So literally, you can take your smartphone and download this app, and every single day, automatically for you, it will populate what is the reading of the Bible for that day. And then Dr. Graham gives a very short and abbreviated devotional about what you're going to read. And every one of us has time to do that. I would encourage you, think about the wasted time in our day. If you have a commute to work, or if you are dropping the kids at school, or you are in carpool line waiting for them to be picked up. I know what we all do. We're scrolling Instagram. I get that. But what if you press pause on that for just a moment and you listened to God's word? You started to read and digest and meditate and think about and speak about and trust and obey God's word. There is an app. It's the most popular Bible app on the web called YouVersion. They have hundreds of Bible reading plans that you can choose from. So if you're like, I want to do chronological, I've never read the Bible chronologically, great. They've got chronological reading plans. If you want reading plans for athletes or for women or for men or for musicians, they got all those reading plans. Great. Pick a reading plan, something that will have you regularly, consistently in God's word. But start reading the Bible. All of us can do this. All of us can do this. It's just a matter of whether or not we value it enough that we will. And so I want to encourage you, church. Figure out if you're willing to pursue biblical strength and courage. Knowing its sourcing is God's promise and plan and person. Its pursuit is His word. It's the Bible. And at the end of the day, can you imagine that there is a God who created everything that's in existence right now? And that God has given to us His word and offered to meet with us every single time we choose to open it. Can you imagine why we would choose to leave that on the shelf? Right? And so you can change that today. We can be a people who choose to pursue biblical strength and courage by choosing to value God in His word. Now, I want to invite you this morning. Some of you are here today, and maybe you saw the testimony of that mother and son. I could not be more proud of that family and their declaration that they made in regards to their faith. And some of you need to make that same declaration. You need to be baptized. Well, if you'll come forward in the invitation in just a moment and let us know, hey, I need to be baptized. I need to go public with my faith in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you decided that you want to join Prestonwood and make this church your home. Come forward and let us know that you want to join our church. Or maybe you need to begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But whatever it is, I'm going to pray for us. And then when I say amen, we will stand and we will lift our voices with a song. And it'll be an opportunity for every single one of us to respond to what God is leading you to do. Let's be a people who truly know what it means to be strong and courageous in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are. Father, thank you for all that you've done. I pray now as we enter into this time of invitation and worship response, God, that you would move in the hearts of your people and help us to know what it is that you are calling us to do. We love you and trust you. And in faith, we ask this from you in Jesus' name. Amen.